It's 2010. Is this a good time or a bad time to be gay? Gay and lesbian listeners, serious question. Call us up, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Look at all the news. This week, a federal judge in California issued a nationwide injunction against the U.S. military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. The future of the decision isn't totally clear, as the Obama administration has 60 days to decide whether or not to appeal the ruling, and the White House would prefer this decision to come out of Congress rather than the courts. This comes at a moment when not only is the military's policy under scrutiny, but there's also so much attention to the recent suicides of several gay teens, including the Rutgers University student, Tyler Clementi, which have been linked to bullying. And while marking an annual coming out day this week, advocates are working to draw attention to what some say is a culture all too complacent when it comes to anti-gay bullying, abuse, and discrimination. Also recently, there was the case of the 8 young Bronx men arrested and arraigned on hate crime charges for allegedly abducting and brutally beating 2 men, possibly only because they are gay. And in the midst of all this, New York Republican gubernatorial candidate Carl Paladino is in the headlines for remarks he made last weekend. Here's a clip of him speaking in Williamsburg to a group of Hasidic Jews.
I just think my children and your children will be much better off and much more successful getting married and raising a family. And I don't want them to be brainwashed into thinking that homosexuality is an equally valid or successful option.
So that was Paladino over the weekend responding to widespread criticism for his remarks. He insisted he isn't homophobic and then issued an apology over, quote, poorly chosen words. Since that apology, Rabbi Yehuda Levin, one of the candidate's biggest supporters in that particular conservative Jewish community, has dropped his Paladino endorsement. Here's a clip of the rabbi's reaction.
Carl, what's happened to you? You're losing it all in 48 hours? Where's the backbone? Where's the guy who's only serving one term so he doesn't have to be afraid of the power structure? How can we religious people, decent family people, how can we depend on you if you folded like a cheap camera because for 2 days they were telling you bad things in the media?
So, listeners, we want to hear from you. If you are gay or lesbian, is it a good time or a bad time to be gay? Does the Paladino sort of flip-flop indicate it's the worst of times or that he came back around getting to be the best of times, or something in between? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for our gay and lesbian listeners. And we have two guests here to join this discussion. Anthony Woods is a West Point graduate and former Army captain who was discharged from the military under the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. And Stephen Thrasher is a Village Voice staff writer and recipient of a 2010 New York Anti-Violence Project Courage Award. Anthony Woods and Stephen Thrasher, welcome to WNYC today.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Thank you.
Anthony, what's your take on this moment? Is 2010 a good time or a bad time to be gay?
Well, you know, ultimately, I would say that it's a good time. You know, we've made a tremendous amount of progress, and I actually think that the tremendous backlash that gubernatorial candidate Paladino has faced is a sign that we have made a lot of progress, and inappropriate homophobic comments aren't going to stand, and they're not popular anymore. And so I think it's become a political issue for that very reason.
And where do you start? And then as I've been saying, the headlines are really so schizophrenic right now.
They are. It's very scary in a way. As a writer, it's a really exciting time to be writing about what's happening in gay America, because all these wonderful things are happening across the country, from the courts in California, both with the federal cases with Prop 8 and with Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And as Captain Woods has said, it's really exciting. But at the same time, good men and women like himself have been kicked out of the military. This is not necessarily going to end immediately with these recent rulings. And even though in a place like New York City, where we typically think that we are safe as gays and lesbians, we've had a beating in the bathroom of the Stonewall Inn. We've had this whole rash of suicides happening around the country. And so it's really important to realize that the fight for full equality is nowhere near being over, and there's a lot more work to do. But it's also really exciting.
Gwen in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hey, Gwen, thanks for calling.
Hey, you're welcome. So I was with my partner on Saturday in the middle of the day in Brooklyn, and we were crossing the street. We were holding hands, and this woman just went off on us and just started screaming that she hates lesbians, and she just kept saying it, like screaming it for like, you know, a block's worth.
And do you think that
we could still hear her as we were walking, you know, a block away?
Could you imagine that going away anytime? Or let me ask you, do you think that it's worse for you now than it was? Do you feel more at risk of having that kind of reaction than, say, 5 years ago?
You know, frankly, I was so shocked. I was just thinking how nice it was to be out and proud when this happened. It's kind of thrown me for a loop.
Gwen, thank you. John in Forest Hills, you're on WNYC. Good or bad time to be gay?
Well, I just turned 64. I came out in Iowa before Stonewall, so I have a little historical perspective. And yeah, we're not in the golden promised land yet. But you know, the times have so much changed. My hometown, when I was growing up, of course, nobody was gay, quote unquote, and now there are gay people there. You know, and so yeah, we have a lot of problems left to come, of course, to be resolved, but. The long stretch, it's been an incredibly enormous change in our society that I've witnessed in my own lifetime.
The optimism of the long view. Stephen Thrasher?
I'm a big fan of Iowa, and thanks for calling in with that. One of the first pieces that I wrote on gay marriage was about the state of Iowa and how my interracial parents had to leave Nebraska to go to Iowa to get married in the late 1950s, and how now I, as a gay man, could potentially go to Iowa to get married as well. And I think it's really important as Americans to realize that this debate is happening all over the country, that there are good people and progressive people on this topic everywhere throughout the 50 states. And at the same time, like the previous caller had said, you can still run into hate and screaming even here in Brooklyn. So it's really important to kind of be aware of the diversity happening all over the country on this topic.
Marcia in Queens, you're on WNYC. Good or bad time to be gay?
Hi, Brian. I love your show.
Thank you.
It's never been a good time. Now, I say that I'm 57. I've done my share of gay activism. And I just wanted to respond to something you said about, you know, us being complacent, and we are way too complacent. And before, when I was listening to the news and heard that rabbi spewing that hate and that idiot Carl Paladino, when I have to hear this, when I turn the radio on, or I looked at your webpage yesterday or the day before, Carl Paladino's face was on it. It sends me over the top with anger, and it's time for us to get back into the streets and to sit down on major thoroughfares and stop traffic and stop letting these people think they can, you know, we're like the last bastion of hate. You know, you can't say the N-word, but boy, you can talk about us till the cows come home.
Maybe gays and Muslims right now. But yeah, it's interesting that you come to a different conclusion at age 57 than our previous caller who was 64 did with the experience that he's been through over time. What do you think?
I grew up in New York City, so for me, I think my expectations were higher.
Marcia, thank you very much. Let me go back to Anthony Woods, and if you're just joining us, he's a West Point graduate and former Army captain who was discharged from the military under the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. Anthony, did you kind of gasp when you heard about the judge's ruling from the other day that actually stopped the implementation of Don't Ask, Don't Tell in its tracks, at least for now?
Well, you know, for me, it really was sort of a bittersweet moment. It's a tremendously positive development that she, you know, ruled that it's that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is unconstitutional, which is phenomenal. But I also think what she did, unfortunately, was cover up what I would call political cowardice on the part of the White House and Congress. They have a lot of work to do. Congress is the only entity that is going to be able to fully repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And I'd like to see more from the White House in calling moderate senators to break this filibuster. And the Senate needs to take up this issue in the lame duck session here in December. So they've got a lot of work to do, despite Judge Phillips' wonderful ruling.
What do you think actually changes for the moment, having been through this yourself?
Well, the thing that's really unfortunate, and I really feel for service members who are gay and lesbian who are currently serving, because they're still in limbo. And because of the silence of the White House so far, the silence of the Department of Defense, a lot of advocacy organizations are unsure of what to make of this. And so that means gay and lesbian service members who are serving right now or who have their investigations that are currently underway, they find themselves in complete jeopardy and unsure of exactly where this is going to end up.
The writer Dan Savage, in reaction to a number of suicides recently of gay teens, and this was before Tyler Clementi, started an online video campaign called It Gets Better to give encouragement to young gays and lesbians coming out, facing a lot of pressure of one type or another. Here is 33 seconds of one of the editions of It Gets Better. The speaker is a police officer and Marine.
My name is J.D. I have been a sworn law enforcement officer for the past 15 years.
And my name is Alan. I was Staff Sergeant in the United States Marine Corps.
And we're here today to tell you
it does get better.
We want to let you know that no matter what you think about yourself right now and what other people may be thinking about you that might be negative, whether they say you're too feminine, whether they say you're too masculine, you are perfect and wonderful exactly as you are. And we want to let you know that indeed,
it does get better.
Stephen Thrasher, some people have been critical of the It Gets Better campaign for being too Pollyanna-ish by concluding every one of these clips with "it gets better," like just hang in there, that it should be angrier and more activist and more focused on bringing change rather than just reassuring people.
Well, my thought when I first heard about this project was that it's a wonderful idea, although I admit when I first watched Dan Savage's with his partner, it puts a very high bar of how it gets better. He's talking about traveling the world and going to Paris with their son, adopted kid. He's a very famous columnist, and that's a pretty hard bar for everyone to reach. But it's really important to, I think, when you're looking at the gay community, to realize that there are just a whole different ways that people can lead their lives and that things do get better. And that when you, I think as teenagers, they might be feeling that nothing is going to change and everything is going to be static. And it's really important for them to see that there are people in the military. There are people who become columnists. There are people who go on to lead, quote unquote, normal lives as well, and to just get out of that temporary moment of feeling really awful. The project is, I wouldn't necessarily, it's completely Pollyannish. I've watched a lot of the videos and there are a great range of them, and I think that it's great to have those. But it's important as gay Americans and as people demanding equal rights to look for the ways to celebrate, to look for the ways to be happy, and to be vigilant, because we need to experience the full range of being human.
Joy in the Kingsbridge section of the Bronx, a good or a bad time to be gay?
As I said, it's neither good or bad time because things, although it looks as if it's changing, things are still the same. Intolerance is still there. And I don't understand what it is that society is afraid of. I mean, are we going to brainwash everybody? Not only that, I mean, they're looking at gayness. We're the same people who never came out and was your neighbors, relatives, and so forth. But once we came out, things changed. We became different people to them. And not only that, it undermines our intelligence. I mean, is it that gay people are not intelligent enough to serve in the military? Are they too weak? I mean, what's going on?
We'll leave that as a rhetorical question. Robert in Jackson Heights, good or bad time?
Good. It's a good time. I mean, I've been out for more than 20 years, and the difference between people's attitudes now and people's attitudes 20 years ago are pretty night and day-ish. I mean, it really is. We're making like three steps forward, one step back. The only thing that kind of disturbs me is I think in a way we're in the death throes of a lot of homophobia, and I do sometimes worry that the people who do cling to that homophobia might get more radical, more violent, as they feel society turning against their opinion about that. And I think that's sort of, that's the only thing that does worry me, that there is a certain radical element in, you know, both in an organized and an unorganized way in the United States that's going to get very, you might actually get inspired to become more violent as they feel the attitudes of society turning away from their attitude about gay rights.
Robert, thank you. And Stephen, I think he makes what might be the central point of this conversation, that as there are one step, two step, three steps forward, the backlash by those who really do find it, in Carl Palladino's words, disgusting to see, you know, gay men and women out in the gay pride parade, et cetera, then that backlash is going to get more intense, at least for a while.
Yeah, I think he does make a really great point. And my last print piece for The Voice was a satire piece called White America Has Lost Its Mind. And I was writing about the Tea Party and how their sort of fringe beliefs have taken over a kind of central philosophy of the right. And he's point on that as society changes, that as the country becomes more multiracial, that as homosexuality becomes accepted, the most virulent elements will become the loudest. And the exciting thing, as a couple other people have said, is that, you know, Palladino feels now like he has to respond to this. He feels like he does have to refute it. And at least in this case, the inmates are not being allowed to totally run the asylum.
Anthony, do you think that if Don't Ask, Don't Tell is repealed through the courts, that it will create a longer-term backlash within the military and without than if Congress actually asks? I know some people are really concerned about this, including possibly the president, which may be why the administration will appeal this ruling, even though they don't support Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Look what happened with Roe v. Wade and the backlash that has existed after abortion got legalized through the courts rather than through legislatures. Do you think that we're facing the possibility of that if this is the way it happens with respect to Don't Ask, Don't Tell going away?
I do think that's entirely possible. You know, my personal belief is I'll take justice no matter how I can get it. And I think that that will be the great thing for our military in general. But I do think there will be a certain element of resentment, and that's why I've consistently called on Congress and the White House to step up their efforts to repeal this legislatively, because that is the most effective way to ensure that this is erased from the books.
Do you want to take that same question, Steve?
Yes, I'm sort of getting tired as an American of having the judicial branch always written off as being an equal player in these discussions. Obviously, if we look back in 1954 and we see Brown versus the Board of Education, the Supreme Court was instrumental in igniting the civil rights movement. And the biggest difference between the integration of gays in the military legally now between, say, when Truman did it, is that Truman did not have a law on the books. Unfortunately, we do have this law on the books, which needs to be repealed by the Congress. And hopefully the president and the Congress will do the right thing now, and they do need to repeal it. But it's completely fine, I agree with the captain, to have this be the starting point, to have this be the beginning of the injunction, and to have the other branches of the government respond appropriately.
Before we go, Shmuley in Borough Park wants to talk back to Rabbi Levin. Right, Shmuley?
No, I don't think Rabbi Levin deserves to be spoken to. I don't think he represents anyone. He's a self-appointed representative. He doesn't. He's not recognized in the community as anything other than a nut. And gay, the issue with gay rights, abortion, social conservatism, has never been a dominant issue in Orthodox Jewish politics. It's always been secondary, if anything. There's an individual whose support comes primarily from the Catholic establishment, and he doesn't have any support in the Jewish organized community.
Palladino.
I live in the community. I'm involved in community politics. The dominant discussion after this fiasco in Borough Park didn't revolve around the gay rights issue. It revolved primarily around disparaging remarks Palladino made about two particular rabbis. No one in the community cares much about the issue. If anything, there's apathy towards the issue of gay rights.
So, listener, Shmuley, just so you really get it, Shmuley is calling in to say that this rabbi who Palladino spoke before his particular group, and then he turned around and withdrew his endorsement of Palladino because Palladino apologized for some of his anti-gay remarks, that this person is not representative of the larger Hasidic and Orthodox communities in New York. Shmuley, who are those two rabbis who he dissed? I don't know about this.
Well, there was in Palladino's speech, remarks he made about two rabbis that had aligned themselves with Heyer's campaign that were deemed disparaging, and most of the conversation that ensued after the speech was revolved around that. people in the community, for the most part, don't understand the issue of gay rights or the fight for gay rights. They're completely apathetic to it. It's not dominant at all as an issue in the community.
Shmuley, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much. And that would be a really good topic for some of our Orthodox listeners. And I know we have many Orthodox listeners, including Hasidic listeners, various kinds of Hasidic listeners. I'm very aware of the diversity within the Orthodox and Hasidic communities. Maybe some of you want to go to our politics website. It's afreecountry.org. And post your thoughts. Where does this Rabbi Levin, who's gotten all this press this week, who most people have never heard of before, stand? Where does he fit in the larger picture of Orthodox and Hasidic New York? And do you agree with Shmuley in Borough Park that there is really apathy toward the issue of gay rights one way or the other, and most Hasidic Jews would not endorse or vote or fail to on the basis of that as a primary issue? Go to itsafreecountry.org and join the discussion on the page for this segment, or to wnyc.org and click on Brian Lehr Show. We're going to give a New York State senator calling in the last word here. It is Senator Tom Duane from Manhattan, a longtime openly gay representative. Senator Duane, thanks a lot for calling in. And the last word, is it a good time or a bad time to be gay?
Brian, it's always two steps forward and two steps back, but I think it's important to also raise the Carl Palladino specter and vision of his being so free to talk about using baseball bats and to verbally and physically threaten people, including reporters, knowing that baseball bats are a primary weapon used in bashings of gay people, of which I've been the victim of a gay bashing myself, and so have so many.
But in fairness, he talked about baseball bats with respect to the state budget, right?
No, actually, to Albany in general, but using violent visions, including baseball bats, I personally found very traumatizing. I think most lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people know people who have been hunted by people who keep baseball bats in their trunks specifically to beat gay people. It's also a weapon of choice against immigrants. A baseball bat was used to sexually assault one of those young men in the Bronx. His speech, his symbolism is incredibly damaging and inciting of violence.
And because we're almost out of time, what about the fact that he now felt pressure to walk back most of what he said?
Well, he said he didn't. He maintains the same sentiments. He apologized for using the words, but he does not apologize for the belief that he has, which is that gay people do not deserve equality, and that even if he does not want to face it, incites violence.
But is it encouraging to you about the times that he felt obligated to do even that much while trying to get his base out to vote for him?
Yes. It's always two steps forward and one step back, and we see that on marriage and Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and when we passed hate crimes and even passing a Dignity for All Students Act in New York. We hope for better days where there'll be more steps forward and less steps back.
Senator Tom Duane, thanks a lot for calling
in.
Thank you. And we thank our guests for this segment, Anthony Woods, who was an Army captain discharged under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and Stephen Thrasher, Village Voice writer and a recipient of the 2010 New York Anti-Violence Project Courage Award. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehr on WNYC. Coming up next, we will have the leaders of all three major minor parties in New York State, and they will talk about how they influence the governor's race. And since none of them are running their own candidate this year, we'll ask, why do you even exist? Stay with us.